We're talking Tiger Woods, y'all, Catfish on Ice, and above all else, we've got the best NBA Finals preview in the entire world right here up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Is our favorite sport.
Hey,
I like the way you dribble up and down the court.
Hey.
Martin, they know all the lyrics.
I used to at one point.
I just get down. I'm happy to be back.
Right.
I remember that. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop.
Yeah, you got that hoop on there, brother. I think you hooped that up right, brother.
Go ahead and sing it.
That's definitely like 1980s.
I mean, that's the early part.
Like 780s, like oop. Strong alley oop. The yep, slam.
Like video game. NBA yeah. Yeah, like the oop.
Wait, what about the skyhook? That wasn't popular. Like, let's see. Skyhook wasn't popular. That wasn't popular move back then.
I mean, the skyhook was a larger one. You know what I'm saying?
Look at this video, y'all. I know y'all can't see out there. Hey, guys. Sports Weekly. Y'all.
That part.
When you guys finish watching your halftime entertainment, which is Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, please go check out this Curtis Blow version of basketball because it is nostalgic AF.
I'm definitely getting that jacket and wearing it to a day party this weekend.
The jacket's got a fly.
It looks like a Golden State Warriors jacket.
Oh, then in that case, then it's not fly. Hey, guys. We always start talking about so much music. It's because we love music and sports equally. Erica Renee Davis, every Thursday night, Sports Weekly Squad. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Insta Story at Erica Renee D. We got Dre's back in the house.
Back in the heezy. Andre Dean at I Am Andre on Instagram. I am AUNDRE and Twitter. I'm back in the house. I'm happy to be back, man. That's real talk. We're going to get it in tonight.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Weiss, at underscore Martin Weiss. I don't tweet often, but when I do tweet, it's 140 characters of greatness.
Man, that's trill.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on our updated Instagram account at BHL Sports Weekly. Shout out to J-Rod and shout out to Raina, who are both missing tonight. J-Rod's on a freaking tour. He's been gone for a second.
Right.
And Raina had something special to come up with work. So we're going to jump right into this. We have the game on. Martin has the game.
On my iPad. It is the end of the second. Or it's counting down towards the end of the second. About a minute left.
Okay, good. So there you go. Minute left to end the second quarter.
39 seconds.
39 60 seconds.
52, Golden State.
What's the score?
60-52, Golden State.
Okay, well, you guys just keep watching us because this is your halftime entertainment.
Yeah.
Let's talk playoffs. What do you guys think so far of what we've seen this first half of this game?
Man, I think exactly what's going to have to happen is happening right now. And Kevin Durant is going to have to ball. Either he's going to have to make a difference on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side in some way, whether it's rebounding, whether it's blocks, whether it's guarding LeBron when Draymond Green gets in foul trouble, mm-hmm. etc. He's going to have to play that part. And I think right now he's doing that for the most part, I think. I think he's handling up on that.
I'd say the biggest key right here in this finals, now that I'm sitting back and watching, you saw it in the beginning of the second quarter
right.
when they rotate out the starters, and now you have like two or three bench players because both of the teams only play 7-8 guys. So when you see those other 3-4 right. guys come in the game, that's when Cleveland went on the run. There was a tie game in the first quarter. I mean, that's when Golden State went on the run.
Yeah.
They went up 10. The bench is just that much better. So it really is going to depend on if Ty Lue can do these substitution patterns appropriately to keep it's a combination of LeBron, Kyrie, and Love on the court at the same time to keep up.
I keep going back to if the 3-point scorers for Golden State have off nights. And Steph was saying off night. It's too early to say he was having an off night, but he was 0-for-4, or Golden State was 0-for-4 at first, and then he went on a little 3-point scoring tear. And I think that is as big of a factor as is Tyron knowing how to rotate his bench with Golden State's bench. I think the Warriors live and die by the three. Of course, they're more multifaceted than just the three ball, but that's their go-to. Like that's why everyone's afraid of the Warriors. And I think if we, meaning everyone else except for Warriors fans, if we can watch them get into a slump, regardless of how well KD plays, regardless of how much he step up on defense, I think that'll be a huge difference maker.
Well, the thing is, if you look at it right now, Klay Thompson's been in a slump the whole playoffs.
Where
has he been?
You're right about that. But who have the Warriors played that was really competitive, though?
But see, you can't really take away what the Spurs. You know what I mean? You can't really take away. Okay. I think that was the best team that anybody would have faced in that whole run to the finals. I think, and by losing what they lost,
Patty,
you know,
and Tony Parker,
and losing Leonard. I mean,
they lost somebody else too. Leonard,
they lost three people? I mean, they lost. They lost the two most crucial.
Right.
You know, so I think really it all comes down to will KD do what he came here to do, and that's win. He has to win. When Draymond goes out, when these guys rotate in early, if you've seen at the towards the end of the first quarter, Curry and Draymond was already on the bench.
Yeah,
and like you said, there were other guys, but who was in it? But Kevin Durant. You can do that. You can rest those two and then still have a dominant player on the court if he plays like a dominant player consistently. If he doesn't, then it does them no good. They might as well fall short like they did last year without him.
Okay, here's my question. Do you guys agree? There are two questions I have about the narratives that we're looking at in the media. Do you guys agree with the narrative that no one has more at stake in this finals than Kevin Durant?
I initially did, but then I started thinking about it more and more. And I think it's clear that we all think that LeBron James is at least the second best player in basketball. I mean, the history of basketball.
Okay. I would say top five.
No, most I think the general consensus, 80% of people in the world could say LeBron is number two. Pretty much solidly stamped there. Seven straight finals, beat the best team ever, best regular season team ever last year, you know, so on and so forth. But it's going to be really hard to say he's the best ever with five losses in the finals.
Well, he'll be 3-5 in the finals.
He'll be 3-5 in the finals, five losses in the finals. And at some point, I get the longevity argument. But it's going to be really hard to argue against Jordan's perfection of 6-for-6 against 3-5.
I think that goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's about working smarter and not harder, almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Jordan did it. When he got there, he made sure you remembered him. He made sure he came home with the W. And I think LeBron James does that as well, but obviously he's fell short, you know what I mean, five times. So it's like, I really don't think that really matters a whole lot. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's right, man. You can't really. I agree with you.
That's almost the Tom Brady argument about, okay, well, if he had lost another Super Bowl, then that diminishes his legacy. I mean, I would rather get there eight times and lose more. I'd rather get there as many times as I got there and lose than to have not gotten there as many times.
Like, would you rather lose four championships or win one?
I would rather. Wait, do I get to lose?
No. You don't get. You get the answer. You get the answer. Would you rather lose four championships or win one?
But in the having lost the four championships,
you see how she still has to answer the question? Because no one wants to lose four championships. No one wants to lose.
But guess what? You're still
a loser.
That is not LeBron's situation. The LeBron situation is that he has won. So it's not like LeBron has lost four championships and hasn't won at all. So let's not disregard the real truth here. Let's not have fake news.
I get that. But the Buffalo Bills went to four Super Bowls in a decade, and nobody talks about who came in second place.
We're talking about a Tom Brady or a LeBron who has been to more than anyone else in there as far as their peers and contemporaries are concerned, and who has the ability to win or has the ability to lose, but they keep getting there. And they both won. So I don't think that's a fair comparison to compare the Bills having lost all those championships.
So if they win this, the Golden State wins, and Kevin Durant is a factor in that, right? How many times has he been?
This will be his second time,
I think. Second time.
Yeah.
So then you can argue that he's up there. Where does that argument fall short, or where does that start? You know what I mean? That's why it's hard to say.
You can't argue that KD's in the same conversation as a Jordan or as a Kobe or as a LeBron.
You can't. Absolutely. That is correct.
So
he moved to Golden State to have that potential legacy, I believe. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think the fact that he moved to a team that was already a superpower, to me, diminishes what the respect that people, that I at least have for him. I have a lot less respect for him for going to a team that was already built to win.
They lost. You could say what it, but did they win it all
last
year?
No.
So if he can come and be the deciding factor, to go back to your question, to kick it back.
Okay, the question is, does anyone in this series have more at stake than KD?
You answer, I think no. I think he has the most. Because if LeBron wins or loses, we're going to say, oh, my God, LeBron still went to eight straight, seven straight championships. We just talked about that. It doesn't matter if whether he loses or wins. But if Kevin Durant can make the move, the reason he came was to win. So the first time you show up at this ball club, you win and you take them and you dominate through the playoffs, dominate through the finals and become the NBA Finals champion, MVP. Don't you think he deserves to don't you think that there's a lot riding on the table for him?
There is. I agree that he has a lot at stake.
And if he loses, they're going to say, oh, you joined the already great team and you're supposed to be a great player and you still couldn't help him get over
that. See, that's where I agree that there is a ton of pressure on KD for sure. And before going into this series, like when it was just the Western Conference, East Conference Finals, I thought the pressure was on KD as well. And it is. And I'm not trying to, you know, say there's no pressure on him. But I think you're wrong when you say if the Warriors lose, it's going to be all about Kevin Durant. I think it's going to be more about, wow, the 73 win team from the year before added a two-time MVP, and LeBron still beat them.
Okay,
you see what I'm? I think that because like because then you look at it in the trilogy. Okay, you had the first game where LeBron was by far no arguments from anybody was the best player on the court.
Wait, the first time they
the first time that the Warriors and Cavs met in the finals. So 2 years ago, you have LeBron being by far the best player on the court. I mean, how many times you hear the argument from people that the losing team in a six game series should have the MVP?
Right.
Like, that was a real discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you go, and he wins. Right? He goes, and he wins the first one after, because, you know, no Kyrie, no Love. So it's legit LeBron versus the world.
Right.
In that first finals. So then you have this next one, the second one where, you know, Golden State had the Draymond suspension and so on and so forth.
Right.
But they were still, at that time, still 73-9.
They were 73-19.
And then Draymond Green suspension came in game five, when they were already up 3-1. So they had two more opportunities to close it out, and Bron still didn't allow them to do it.
Right. Okay.
So you see what I'm saying? So like, I get it. Like, now don't get me wrong. If it's like, you know, game seven, 10 seconds left, and Golden State's down by one, and KD misses, then we're all gonna look at KD.
Hell
like,
yeah, we are.
You know, everybody's. I'm not trying to say that KD's just gonna walk out of here with no clouds over his shoulders, but I think just overarchingly, it's gonna be more about LeBron and less about the Warriors.
TV timeout. Chat room says. KD, Demo says, hey, Demo, and hey, Mr. Regman. Demo says that Kevin Durant has the most pressure since he was bashed for going to the Warriors, and if he loses his series, the backlash will be even worse.
Absolutely think that. I think that is going to overpower the fact that LeBron James won another championship. LeBron James is one of the greatest athletes in the country, in the world, in everything. And that's going to be that regardless. Next year, he'll probably be back in the finals. Then maybe even the year after that. And the year after that, that's going to happen. You might as well get used to seeing him in it, and he's done it seven years straight. So it's almost not even that phenomenal anymore. You understand what I'm saying? That's why he can't peak Jordan, because his span was so much shorter and he did it so much quicker, and he doesn't and he hasn't won six.
No, but like LeBron James, he's more of a marathon versus sprint. I get that. And that's why I think the comparisons are kind of different. Plus, their games are wildly different.
They are, and it's a different era. And the game has changed so much. And I almost feel like we've got to get to a point where we respect greatness in every era based on how the game has evolved. And I know that's a cop-out argument, but, I mean, you can't compare, I don't know, the Julius Irvings and the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, to the KDs and the Kobes. I mean, it's hard to compare. Like, the games were different. The leagues, I think there were, 14 teams back in the day. Like, it's so much different now. I know, again, that's a cop-out argument, but almost you cannot compare the plight of LeBron to Jordan. I almost feel like you got to give each of them their respect in their respective eras.
I'll say another thing that people have neglected to realize throughout this entire playoffs is what super team, quote-unquote, won in their first year. LeBron didn't do it in Miami. Boston didn't do it after the trades. Like, it's just like, it takes a while.
Let me ask you guys this before we move on. How do you guys feel about the narrative that the media has created? And we tend to create storylines because it makes it more interesting, that the Cavs are the underdog. Because you look at, you know, the ESPNs, the Foxes, the whatever, the Bleacher Reports, and it's always like, oh, can the Cavs do it? Can the Cavs upset the Warriors? Is that a fair conversation to have the Cavs as the perpetual underdog in this series?
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. Who cares? You know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, the cream of the crop will always rise. And both of these teams are great. Any team, either one of these teams can win this. We already know. Everybody knows it. That's why we're so excited about it.
So that doesn't bother you that the media is painting?
No.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
I think so, too.
I get it. Like Golden State has, on the paper, they have all the firepower and this and that. If I was a betting man, you know, I would probably, I predict Cleveland in six. I really do think that. I think Cleveland's in six or seven. But if I got good numbers, I might put my money on Golden State, depending on it. You know what I'm saying? If you guys have some, my gut was telling me. But if I got the right amount of points, then we're talking a different story. But it's crazy to me that, because basketball is it's the most individual team sport that you can have. Really, you have one player that can affect. Like in football, you don't, like if you have a really great left tackle, you're probably only winning three games.
Right.
If that's the biggest thing, you know, if you have a great quarterback, you might win eight. You know, it's like, but you have to have good players around. Basketball, you can have one great player and four other role players and still be able to go and do something and make some noise. I think it's ridiculous how big. Like if you want to pick Golden State to win, that's fine. But painting Cleveland as some type of massive underdog when they have LeBron James is ridiculous.
Demo in the chat room says the Cavs are the defending champs. She does not buy them as underdogs. I agree. Steve Kerr, if he comes back, is that going to have an impact, you think, on the Warriors' ability to win, or will it impact?
I don't think it has.
I don't think so, honestly.
I do. Because if you think about it, I was thinking about this today, too, because when Kyrie was asked about Mike Brown and his like relationship with him, I kind of forgot that Mike Brown was the beginning of LeBron. Like. Right. Let's think about all the times, like, LeBron's 3-5 in the finals. Mike Brown coached him for some of those.
So you're saying that that Mike Brown could be a bad omen as a head coach in the finals?
I think so. Like, Mike Brown seems to me like, you have him in football, like Gunther Cunningham is defensive coordinator.
Or like Chip Kelly.
No, not Chip Kelly, but like a guy who's better as a coordinator, better as, like, not the head guy.
Like Chip Kelly, better as a coordinator.
If you look at where Mike Brown is, everywhere he's been a head coach from, he's gotten fired. But if you look at the benches that he's on, like, I don't think it's any coincidence that the past 2 years has been on the best team in one of the best teams in the league as their assistant coach.
Mr. Regman says the Cavs are the defending champs, so treat them with respect.
Right. Put some spec on their name.
Right.
Put some spec on it.
Big deal or nah? This is the part of the show where we talk about whether these topics are a big deal or nah. So this particular bullet point has several ways we can break it down. But to start off, LeBron says that being black in America is tough after his house is vandalized with the racial slur. So my first question, is it a big deal or nah that LeBron said that being black in America is tough? Is that a big deal?
I think it absolutely is a big deal.
Trey?
Go
ahead so I can curse you out.
Nah, I don't think it's a
Why?
Big deal.
Why, Dre? Why is that not a big deal?
Because my thing is, there's been multiple other things that's happened in this world, like due to race, and where you can step out and say, oh my God, like, that's crazy. Like, look how they're doing this or treating us. But you wait till somebody painted some kids or somebody who's playing a joke or a prank and they painted on your big mansion in LA, you know what I mean? Before you decide to step out and say, oh yeah, I believe, etc. You didn't even, that didn't even have to be news, I don't even think.
I would push back on that because LeBron, especially in the last probably 3 years in specific. Now, he was doing it for the majority of his career, but especially in the last 3 years, has taken almost every opportunity
like
to speak out socially
activist.
Like for Eric Gardner.
That's what I didn't know. So what I'm saying is if I haven't followed it that much, I haven't noticed that much personally, and I follow him on Instagram and etc. I just haven't noticed it. So what I was saying was if this was the first time that he's really stepped out and said, it's not.
I'd say overall, like, no, nothing terrible happened here. But LeBron realized is, and I think like people, especially people in our positions, realize sometimes it's bigger than you. It's way bigger. Yeah, right. Nobody was home. It's a $20 million mansion in Brentwood. Like, we all look at that and be like, yeah, bro, you're living in the lap of luxury.
Right.
Racism doesn't affect you in particular. But,
which is what Jason Whitlock's ignorant ass said earlier today.
But when you're somebody like LeBron James and you have the ultimate platform and you take that opportunity to highlight an injustice done against you, it shows not us. It shows people who question whether or not racism is really a thing. People who see a police-involved shooting and wonder, oh, well, why did that happen? And don't allow for race to be a issue. Right. And don't allow for race to be a reason why. There's always got to be a reason why besides the fact that somebody may have been racially motivated. You see something like this, and you know the N-word is the trigger because no one likes to say that things are racist unless it has the N-word involved.
That's true.
And so when LeBron does that and he says, you know, look, this is racism happening to me right now. Is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. I'm still about to go play game one. My family's safe. My home is safe. Look, it's clean. It's up. But look at this example of the – I'm LeBron. I'm a one-name superstar.
And I'm not untouchable. Yeah, and I definitely think it's a big deal because he could cower from this. He didn't have to go on the dais and speak nationally, publicly about being called the N-word because he does live a life of privilege. Jason Whitlock earlier said – and I paraphrase slash quote that if you're Oprah Winfrey, if you're LeBron James, like you don't have it hard. So he was basically taking LeBron's words where LeBron said it's tough being black in America. And Whitlock was like, no, you don't have it tough. And I think that is a gross misperception that non-black people have is that if you're rich, you don't fall victim or you don't become the victim of racist acts. It's like the dude has nigger painted on his garage door. How can you even say, oh yeah, you're LeBron James, you aren't a victim of racism in America?
I disagree with that. You
don't think that Oprah's and LeBron's and other rich black celebrities, athletes are succumb to racist in America?
They aren't as affected by it as the people who are non-privileged. I don't think that it's anywhere near because they don't even have to deal. They're in the high rises. They're living with the Caucasian people or whoever the heck else you want to say it. And these people know who they are. They respect them. They love sports. Even if they, you know, that's just been a thing for everything. I mean, they love sports. They respect them enough to at least, you know, not complain or support their jerseys and make sure, you know, that you buy their product.
But, like, okay, you play professional ball for a second and you play college football and you play in Texas. You know that on Saturdays, and you went to Michigan and I went to Georgia, so, you know, we're all Division I grads. You know that on Saturdays, football, all the white people love the black boys. But Monday through Friday, you will get called the nigger, the N-word, the this, the that, the whatever. Like, there's a certain respect they have for you.
If you have that talent and you're privileged and you're in that position to make power, then you're not as effective.
So if I'm running your ball, if I'm tap dancing for you, if I'm singing your songs, if I'm twerking for you, then you love me. But as soon as I'm out of that arena, if LeBron James, let's say Maverick Carter, LeBron James's CEO of his company, was driving down the street in my hometown, no one knows that this is LeBron James's right-hand man. No one knows that he's a multimillionaire of a multi-million dollar corporation. If he got pulled over, he's just another black man. So you're using the LeBrons and the Oprahs to act as if they're untouchable. He's not untouchable. He has the N-word painted on his house.
See, he is untouchable because it didn't do it.
Here's the thing. Now, I can LeBron, a player like LeBron, who's been in the spotlight since he's literally 17 years old, 16 years old. Right? Has LeBron James experienced the same type of racial subjugation as other people?
No.
As less privileged people?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Of course not, yes.
Now, I don't know what it's like to be the best player in the NBA. I don't know what it's like to have gone
in the world.
I just don't know. I don't know what it's like to be at that pedestal and what types of pitfalls come with that. I know what it's like to be me.
Right.
And I know what it's like to talk to people who have no reference or point of reference as to why people feel the way they feel when things that you feel are racially motivated and they push back and say, well, why? I don't see that in my world. That's not real to me. But LeBron is real in everybody's world.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick is real in everybody's world.
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying, all you see these players, that they're broadcast across the country. Everyone sees it. And when you have a moment like that, and it's not necessarily taking advantage of being a victim of something like that. Because while you can argue whether or not the effect it had on his life and his family, there's no arguing whether or not he was a victim of a crime, hate crime.
He was, period.
So I don't want to say he's like weaponizing his victimhood or something like that, but definitely shining a light to show you that, look, these things happen. Like, yeah, it's not costing him anything but to scrub his house back. But that could be something that shows somebody, oh, well, you know what? Maybe when I'm looking at this predatory housing loan, are looking at this, you know, these red line districts. I see this. You know what? Maybe this is racism. Because and I want to, I don't want to just say I don't want to say just because somebody saw that somebody painted the N-word on LeBron's house, they may take that and say, oh, maybe this instance in this instance is racism. But if you highlight that racism exists and racism happens, because right now that's what we're arguing is, does racism exist?
Racism definitely exists, and it exists no matter how rich and how famous you are. And Dre, I know you're saying that, and Martin, you said it too. And I think I also agree that the richer and the more established, the more well known, the more notoriety you have as a black person, you're not going to get treated like we might get treated if we pulled out of here and made a wrong turn, made a U-turn. That is a fact. But you have people like Jason Whitlock who want to act as if black people in power, President Obama, like they've called him, they called Michelle Obama all kinds of monkeys. She is the first lady of the United States, but now our first lady of the United States is a softcore porn star and doesn't get nearly the disrespect that she got. So to act as if black people in power do not experience racism the same way the regular black folks do is a misconception. Well, I really want people to understand that narrative about if you're Oprah, if you're LeBron, you're not susceptible to it because you are.
See, the first half I had to take it back from because they're not affected the same way. Like if you're somebody who is working a $35,000 job, you try and get a house loan, you can't because you know you have a 650 credit score,
right?
And racism affecting you like that. That is right there. Is this life affecting you? That's affecting everything. You can't get a car loan, you can't get a house loan because you have a lower credit score because all these different things that are in part due to the racial structure of our society.
Right.
That right there is life crippling and life altering.
But that's like LeBron, that's a combination of being black and of being poor.
And like, I understand
you can have
that.
A trailer park white person who has a 650 credit score too. Who
and I agree with that,
be,
but we would say right like I think the where you say, the line of injustice is when you have these two people with the same exact same exact resume to speak, and you're treated differently than me because I look different than you,
or because my name is different.
My name is different. Some signifier such as that. Right? When we're identical on paper.
Okay.
So when you see it, look at everybody that LeBron is identical on paper with, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Okay? But when we look at LeBron as a black man, and you look at the other things that all other black men have been through, the vast majority of black men have been through, it's a drop in the bucket in comparison. But when you compare LeBron to his contemporaries, that's a big deal.
Dre, you want to say something? I thought you were going to jump in.
No, I mean, I stand strong on what I say. You know, I believe everybody is affected by it. And like I said, I respect the fact that LeBron, I like to see athletes take that stand and use their platform to do that. I respect the fact that he did that because, like you guys said earlier, he's utilizing his platform to do good. Regardless, and I respect that anytime. But at the same time, I'm affected differently from racism than LeBron James is.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
What it is. And that's just the cold, hard facts. And that's going to be the same today, tomorrow, until I grind and put myself in a position or a status to a point where people know who I am and they respect me for
Dude,
my
you're
craft.
Walking around being called Dre the same way LeBron is being called LeBron. I get that.
I do want to throw out like an outlier though. Take the Colin Kaepernick thing. You take him, you take his resume, and then the next quarterback's resume, and they're both rich. They're both NFL stars, and I say they both, meaning any random backup quarterback that Kaepernick is better on paper, better than, has gone to a couple of Super Bowls and still doesn't have a job because he is black and because he stood up for injustices of black people. So it doesn't just affect
it's
the
not
650
just because
credit
it was
score black,
black no.
person
it's
in the
It's not
hood.
Just because he was it was for standing up for black. Just it's because he went against the grain. Bottom line, people don't like in society, people hate when you go against the grain. When you go against the grain, people hate that. That's the worst thing, like when you go against the grain. And that's what he did by taking a knee, and that's beyond racism. That's beyond anything. That's not even, I'm not trying to put that above, racism. Correction, right? But what I'm saying is that has nothing to necessarily do with racism. The fact that you took a knee on the national anthem. Does that have anything to necessarily do with racism?
It absolutely does, because when he asked why you took the knee, he couldn't explain, and it was all about racism.
About Black Lives Matter and the police killings, and the and so it turned into a racial conversation, which I'm glad we're having. Let's go to the chat room real fast. Let me say this. Demo says it's a big deal because when LeBron speaks, people listen. He's using his voice to invoke conversations about race, which more athletes should do. Mr. Regman says it is a big deal because people need to hear about our conflicts with being Black. Since they're the attention, he has attention of being the best player in the NBA, and he is still being judged by the color of his skin.
I'd say the difference between LeBron and Kaepernick is at no point, even when Kaepernick was going to the Super Bowl, at no point was he ever the best player in football.
Ever.
And I'm not trying to, and I'm not.
That makes me angry that you're adding all these qualifiers. So LeBron is the best. He's the best NBA player. He's the best MVP. He's the best
of
all time.
So you're adding all these qualifiers.
So basically, you got to be the best Black person ever to have a voice.
That's not what I said.
That's not what you just said. No, you didn't let me finish my point.
That's not what I said. Because the reason you said the reason that Kaepernick is unsigned is because of all the things that he did, right?
Yes. For taking the knee, all the, if
that's the case, I understand that, and I believe that as well. But when you have somebody whose talent level, like LeBron could be an absolute scumbag,
okay,
and would still be signing million-dollar deals because of his talent level. Kaepernick's talent level is not like LeBron is so much like if Colin Kaepernick was Tom Brady doing the same things that he's doing now, Colin Kaepernick would never have lost a starting job. So that's what I'm saying in terms of that. Do I think it's right that he doesn't have a job? Absolutely not.
What I'm saying is, as an owner, as a Caucasian owner, the fact that he's taking a knee because of pro-Black doesn't make a difference to you. That's not why you don't want him in your locker room.
Ooh.
I think they don't want him in the locker room because, period, it's a distraction. The fact that you will be so strong and so bold with your voice and stand up for something that you believe in and go against the grain, the team, the grind, the thing that we want you to focus on. Because if you're not focused on that, then we lose money. Then people lose jobs. And then owners have to move to new states and coaches have to leave, and that's why I think that these coaches are not wanting him to be a part of their team.
We do have to move on though, because we're having a race riot. It's okay. But it's a necessary conversation. Mr. Regman says their status as celebrity only exists in their home countries. If you take them out of America, the world will only see them with the color of their skin.
I absolutely disagree. LeBron James is an international star.
But see, again, like we're qualifying LeBron because he's like the top. Let's take a Tristan. We can go on. We'll talk about this another time. Big deal or not? Tiger Woods was under the influence of prescription drugs only. No alcohol. He blew a 0-0-0-0-0. Oh, TV timeout. What's the score on the game?
70-52, Golden State, 8:44 left in the third.
70-52, Golden State, 8:44 in the third. So Tiger was, his arrest video is awful. He was clearly inebriated, clearly not able to function enough to drive a car well. His tires were flat. He didn't know where he was. He was in Jupiter, Florida, but he told the officers he was leaving an event, a golf event in L.A. He hasn't played golf in months. So he was just loop-de-loop-de-loop.
That part.
So big deal or not that it was prescription drugs and not alcohol?
I think it's absolutely a big deal. I mean, just last week or two weeks ago, I don't remember. I made Tiger Woods had his fourth back surgery. Was that a big deal or not?
Yeah.
You know, but I laughed about it at the time because it's like, yo, just have a seat, like, because it's like he's talking about I feel better, I could be back on the course, and it's like, bro, just relax, okay?
Right.
But it's a big deal because I think it speaks to obviously a bigger problem in this country. Like people are addicted to prescription pills, and I don't know if Tiger Woods is addicted or what, but in the past, if you believe he was cheating on his wife due to a sex addiction, like he previously posted or posited, then he has a history of addiction in his life.
Okay.
In that case, and you know, with something like having four multiple back surgeries, trying to rehab, get back, like I've never like covering athletes that I've known, you're taking painkillers in order to try to get back on the field or on the court or on the course in golf's sake. So, I mean, and it sucks.
It's a big deal. I think it's a big deal too, Dre. Big deal or not? Big deal or not?
Nah, man. No? I don't think it's a big deal. Regardless to whether it was alcohol or drug prescription, he has a problem. It's okay. Something wrong with him. Okay. That man is he's straying away from the game that he loves. When he tries to go back, he's not anywhere near. And the fact that he doesn't understand that he's not and doesn't see and just keeps going back and back, he just has a problem. And I think it's bigger than whether he it's prescription drug. Right, yeah. Okay. Or not, he just needs to go and get help.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So you're saying that it doesn't matter that it wasn't alcohol, but it does matter that it was just drugs, period.
Right.
I see what you're saying. I'm going to say it's a big deal because I am adamantly against the abuse of doctors and pharmaceutical companies when it comes to prescription drugs. I feel that when it comes to marijuana use, and I'm not a smoker, never have been, but I look at marijuana use as medicinal purposes as being a healthier option than the drugs that the pharmaceutical companies are pushing, people get addicted to, and you have all these different compounds or chemicals in your body, rather, that over the course of time can interact with one another and cause you even more, I guess, harmful side effects. So to me, it's a big deal because Tiger Woods is yet another person, as rich as he is, as privileged as he is, he's another person who is succumbing to the, I guess, egregious lack of empathy of our pharmaceutical companies and of our healthcare system. And I know that's like reaching, but that's how I feel about someone being addicted to prescription and drugs.
I do wonder, when you hear about athletes who were such phenoms at early ages,
right,
especially like Tiger, LeBron,
right?
You know, I'm trying, and even those two are outliers.
Or celebrities not really, like Britney Spears,
but just anybody who's on this, like,
right?
But athletes, especially, because the celebrity is kind of infinite as long as you can continue to maintain it.
That's not true now.
Well, I'm saying,
I don't know about that.
There are people who have been famous for 15, 20, 30, 40 years.
But that fame can wane, and when that fame starts waning is when they start ripping their hair out and getting beyond TMZ.
And going crazy. But
and going crazy.
And doing drugs.
And doing drugs.
To other things.
Right.
But like, you're an athlete. Like, we played sports growing up. Eric, I don't know if you did or not. Did you play?
I ran track.
So yes. You ran track,
yeah,
growing up. So we played sports at a very young age, 10, 11, 12. Now, you're somebody who, Tiger was also like 5, 6, 7.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's been playing golf literally his entire life. And like you alluded to it earlier, he tries to go back to the game he loves and how he defined himself. I mean, think about it. His whole life fell apart, and the only thing that was still there is the sport that he,
right,
that's, you know, and when you're a professional athlete, like the hours that you've put in.
Of course.
You've done more of that sport than anything else in your life, up to the point, at any point.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So I think when you're somebody who has such an attachment and such a definition of self in a sport like,
yeah,
that, it's easy to lose yourself and to try to hurry up and get back to the point where you were.
I agree with you.
You know, Tiger Woods is like the 850th best golfer in the world right now.
860.
You know, like, that's crazy.
It's awful, yeah. Demo says Tiger's been on a downward spiral ever since the cheating scandal. He needs serious help for his issues. Big deal or not?
I agree.
Kyrie Irving says that he regrets that he and Mike Brown had rifts back in 2013 and 2014. He has admitted that Mike Brown was just trying to teach him, his little 21-year-old self, tricks of the trade that he did not know, and that he regrets that they have a strained relationship. Is that a big deal that Kyrie is making this statement as he's getting ready to face the coach who he used to kind of hate, who actually tried to get him traded?
I think it's a big deal,
too,
because he respects. I think he's just showing the utmost respect right now for his coach and for him to have stepped in and done what he has done with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And him saying, you know what, maybe I did give him a hard time when I first got here when I was younger.
Right.
And I kind of didn't see his vision. But now, you know, as I sit back, I can honestly say from what I've learned thus far,
right,
this season, that this is a great coach. And I think that's what he's saying in a nutshell, without putting his pride out there too much,
right,
but just saying it in a way and keeping it cool. So I respect that.
Big deal or not?
Big deal.
I didn't think it was a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Because, I mean, if you look at the situation when it actually happened,
ooh,
it makes sense.
So fine. I'm sorry. I just saw on the thing.
You know what's funny, too? Earlier in the first quarter, Jeff Van Gundy was, they were calling the game. He said, look, I don't know what just happened. Rihanna walked past me.
Oh, Rihanna.
Yeah. Oh,
Rihanna had walked,
oh,
past,
wow,
and he got completely distracted.
That's funny.
But,
no,
it's all good. But I just think when you have a situation And I had a thought.
You said it wasn't a big deal. You said, or nah.
Yeah, but what was the topic in general?
Kyrie Irving and Mike Brown.
Because if you look at it from the business side of things, like Mike Brown got fired twice in Cleveland.
Right.
So he already knows the deal. And he has a young star who's not paying attention to him, not listening to him, not doing what he's trying to do. He's like, yo, I'm trying to keep my job. So I'd go to – I feel like Kyrie probably understands that a little bit more now. I feel like he probably understands the business side
of it more. As a
19-year-old kid, you might be like – You don't trade me. You don't think I'm good enough. You don't think this guy is a joke. He already got fired from here once.
Well, see, I think it's a big deal that he's coming back as a 25, 26 year old and showing that I am mature, because a lot of athletes we rag on them for being egomaniacs. We say, oh, he's full of himself, or he spends too much money, or he's not a great team player. And I think that the fact that Kyrie can, even though he is the second star of that team, can come out and say, yes, this coach that I'm now facing was my coach 4 years ago. We have a very strained relationship. He tried to get me traded, but yet I still respect the lessons that he taught me. That's a big deal for a superstar NBA player to swallow his pride enough to say, I'm sorry. So I think it's a big deal. Fair foul or can't call it. This is the part of the show we talk about these things. Fair foul or can't call it. The Mets fire one of their Mr. Mets after he flips off a fan last night when the Mets lost to the Brewers 7-1. The Mets are having a really dismal season. But the thing is, the damn thing doesn't even have five fingers. He has four fingers. So it wasn't even a real bird. And so there are several different people who wear that mascot uniform. But the one who did the gesture got fired. Is that fair, foul? You can't call it that he got fired.
I think that's foul, man. I love it that Mr. Met has that much enthusiasm for what he's doing, man. And he only got four fingers or whatever you want.
Right, he got four fingers.
No, I think that's fair.
What? Fair.
I think that's fair.
Why is that? How is that fair?
Because why is it? You're getting your team sucks.
Okay.
You were a postseason team last year,
right?
Mind you, there are
500 games in baseball, so they still have an opportunity to get back to last year's glory.
Yeah, you're right. Because I mean, before the All-Star break, anything, all bets are off.
Thank you.
But you have Matt Harvey with his issues, not showing up to games. Syndergaard and his issues, and Terry Collins, and the way he manages the lineup, that's all type of questions. It's the reason why they're so bad right now. If you're a fan and you're like, you see a mascot, you're like, hey, Mr. Met, y'all suck. And his response is, to do that.
He doesn't even have a middle finger, though.
You can't be doing that as a mascot.
It's nublets.
He doesn't have a middle finger.
Nublets,
so
brother.
You can't do that as a mascot. You can't do it as a player. You can't react to the fans. And if the fan, like, see, that's why I say, that's why if you go back to the Adam Jones conversation, I was thinking, that's why N-word is, like, anything. You should be able to get kicked out of games. You say wild stuff like that.
But you got four fingers. Not even a middle finger.
See,
you can't. How are you gonna get fired for doing something that you didn't even really technically do?
Would you fire me for that?
Did y'all see the video? He had the whole this. You know how people be when they cut you off in traffic.
Oh, man, he was stretching, man. He was stretching all this. He was like,
Everybody knew. He wasn't no, I'm number one. Tell you that.
Mr. Regnus says that it's fair he got fired because he's also doing it in sign language. Dino says that it's foul because he could have been provoked by this fan. Who knows what he said? I'm saying it's foul. He got fired. It's foul he got fired because A, he doesn't have, it wasn't a middle finger. B, it wasn't a middle finger.
I'm with Demo. The intent is what matters.
No, Demo said that it's foul. Mr. Regman said that it's fair.
No, I'm with Demo because I think it is foul that a fan can say whatever the hell he wants to say to Mr. Met.
Well, I think it's foul that he got fired.
But
well,
if Mr. Met, fired. Mr. Met can't respond.
Well, okay, fair foul or can't call it. Austin Rivers was on Undisputed yesterday, and he said that Glenn Big Baby Davis did not get playing time because he was overweight, he didn't know plays, and he was often late for practice. So let's start with that. Is it fair foul or can't call it that Austin Rivers put Big Baby Davis's business out there on national television yesterday?
I think it's foul. Like, why would you do that, man? You don't have to put that big fella business out there like that, because now you kind of can prevent him from doing things in the future.
He's not doing anything else.
You know what I'm saying? He might try to get back out there. He might be.
Glenn Big Baby Davis will never play another professional basketball game. I mean professional basketball. I'm not talking about NBA just only. He ain't playing in China. He ain't playing in Canada. He ain't playing in Saudi Arabia. Wherever those got leagues, he ain't going nowhere to play nothing. But I'll say it's fair because I don't know how much of the backstory you all are aware of, but Glenn Davis has been talking very candidly about the Clippers, Doc Rivers, on several different occasions. About the Clippers and Doc Rivers on several different occasions.
Yeah, but Doc, you can't scoop.
stooped down to his level.
But that's not Doc. That's off the Rivers. And he was asked, you know, Glenn Davis has had a lot to say about the Clippers. You're a member of the Clippers. What would you like to say about that? He didn't say anything that wasn't a knock against Glenn Davis during his career.
That he was overweight.
He was late to practice. That he didn't know the plays. That's the reason why he was crying on the bench in Boston.
Right. Mm. Right. With Doc.
Kevin Garnett wasn't having it.
Right.
It's completely fair.
I think it's fair because
especially if you're throwing stones like Glenn Davis has been doing.
Because Big Baby and some of the other former Clippers have a very sordid culture because they have been former players have been just talking like the worst crap about them since they've left under Doc. Okay, so I'm gonna say it's fair too because Austin I feel like was taking up for himself based on Glenn's past comments. Now Big Baby claps back. Fair foul or can't call it. Big Baby claps back on his Instagram post saying, Austin Rivers, basically, you just got this job because of your daddy. I was only late 2 times, overweight, whatever. Your daddy was playing Spencer Halls because he made bad personnel decisions. You aren't anybody. You're just somebody's child. Is that fair foul or can't call it?
I think that's completely not fair because Austin Rivers was a freaking lottery pick. Like, I get the fact, like, Austin Rivers was a lottery pick, and I get the fact that, yeah, his dad signed him, but it's not like Austin Rivers was washing out of the league after he left New Orleans. Austin Rivers was going to be a rotational player somewhere in the NBA. Now, would he have been a starter? Would he have gotten, like, 6-man minutes, 7-man minutes, whatever? But, like, you're not telling me that Austin Rivers doesn't have a spot in the NBA right now. Doc Rivers didn't just give him the job.
Dre, what are you looking like?
I don't think Austin Rivers is that good of a player anyway. For him to be speaking upon, you know, that's why I'm saying, you know, it's foul because for him to be speaking upon Big Baby, your career has been similar. You haven't even been that great of a player. You haven't made a significant enough difference
but
on that
has,
team
though,
to speak anything. That's me personally.
Well, let me tell you. That's me personally. You know I'm a Clipper fan, Dre.
I know you are, and you follow them die hard.
When Austin first became a Clipper, no, he was underwhelming. Yes, and so you could call nepotism. You can say, oh, he has his job because of his daddy, but if you want to talk about racial lines in America, every white person has a job. That's an overgeneralization. I should not have said that. But a lot of rich white people have jobs because of their daddies. So let's throw that out of the conversation. Maybe he got on the Clippers because Doc Rivers was not going to let his son get passed over in the league. Okay, but once he had that job, Austin proved himself year after year after year. Like, he has proven himself to be very valuable when Chris Paul goes down. He has proven himself.
Yeah, but the Clippers are valuable, period, anyway. So none of them are doing the job. Doc's not doing the job. Austin's not doing the job. CP3's not doing the job.
Austin has proven himself.
And you can't build? Would you build a team around him?
No, you wouldn't. But most players in the league, you wouldn't build your team around.
Why is that the qualifier?
Yeah, I don't think that should be.
I would only build my team around like 3 guys in the NBA right now.
I would build around more than that.
Demo says it's fair. Personally. Glenn Davis is standing up for himself regardless if he's doing it in a trashy way. I say it's foul
because
Glenn.
Because I'll say this. If you look back and like go kind of back and forth, Austin Rivers was talking about Glenn Davis's like work ethic in terms of being a player.
Well, you see what I'm saying? You could see it was kind of factual.
And I say Glenn Davis came at Austin Rivers from a place of nepotism. He didn't talk about, boy, you can't shoot, you can't dribble, you ain't defending nobody, you this, that, the third.
Because Austin...
No one's coming at his minutes. You know, he didn't come at his minutes. He came at the reason he got the job.
Right.
Like Glenn Davis, I mean, Austin Rivers talk about Big Baby's minutes on the court.
Right.
Not, you know, him and Doc used to get into it, so on and so forth. Like, no, bro, you don't come to practice.
Fair foul, can't call it. Okay, now we're going to go into, in case you missed it... In case you missed it, Kendall Jenner, which I do not care about. Raymond put this on the rundown. Kendall Jenner is the newest Adidas ambassador. So what?
Who is cares? Adidas going to be next to Cure Racism?
Right, with a Pepsi or a Sprite.
Show up to LeBron's house with Adidas holding a Pepsi, and I'll tell you what.
Here's what I do care about. Shaq showed his feet at halftime last week during the Eastern Conference Final. He showed his foot. So this is a before picture that you're looking at of his foot. Social media was completely traumatized, and it became a little bit of a viral story, a laugh-out-loud story. And then this week, he follows up that ugly live airing of his foot with a glitter pedicure. So he got his feet done, y'all, in case you missed it. In case you missed it, Shaq got his feet done.
You know what? They should sue. They should sue.
You know what? Whoever he got that pedicure by, I mean, yeah, the pedicure.
They should sue.
They need credit for that because they did work on that man's feet. They look like real feet now. Before, they looked like just logs. Like logs sitting out in the...
That's like...
I mean, at least they look like feet.
Footal surgery? Yeah, facial surgery. It's like footal surgery.
I mean, they definitely use like excessive tools like chainsaws
I'm sure they probably got paid that had to handsomely.
Gas motor in that mug. Like,
I would have left that day.
In case you missed it, Lala and Mello, despite the fact that Mello allegedly knocked up somebody else, had an extramarital affair, and has a extra baby on the way, they're not in a rush to divorce, in case you missed it.
Duh, because it's cheaper to keep her, and it's a whole lot of money involved right there, man. When you just walk away, she's going to take half. So you might as well just try to work it out and see if you can make it flow and go with it. Go.
What, Martin?
I feel you. I buy your house. I get your car. You're going to be married over there. I'm going to be married over here. Yeah. We ain't going to do our own married thing separately.
In case you missed it, a Nashville Predators fan threw a catfish on ice at Game 1 of Stanley Cup Finals. So they were they charged this Predators fan with three offenses.
What?
The charges have been dropped. They've been dropped, though. It's a long story. Go look up the Stanley Cup. Go look up the Nashville Predators' history of throwing catfish on the ice.
No. The NHL is very weird with throwing seafood on the ice.
Right.
Seafood very, very weird thing. But I'm surprised he was charged.
He was charged, but they dropped the charges. Real fast predictions. I know we did them last week, but just for whatever, for shits and giggles. Who you got, Martin?
I had Cavs in six.
Golden State in six.
Cavs in seven. Who y'all got? Hey, chat room, I love you guys. I kind of neglected you guys today. Demo says Melo has a prenuptial agreement. He's good. I did not know that.
Well, that's great.
Mean,
okay.
That's smart. That's still money, though.
And she's still fine. Lala is so fine.
She's
very funny. Like, I mean, it's not going to get too much better than that unless it's my wife. You know what I'm saying?
What's the score real fast before we go? Got to wrap.
Golden State by 20 in the fourth.
Damn. Golden State by 20.
At the start of the fourth.
Guys, next Thursday we will be here every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I'm Erica Renee Davis. Thanks for hanging out with us in the chat room. Thanks for hanging out with us out there as your halftime entertainment and your third quarter entertainment for NBA Finals. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Insta Story at Erica Renee D.
I am Andre on Instagram and Twitter, AUNDRE, what it is.
Welcome back.
Martin Weiss, _ Martin Weiss on everything social media.
Welcome back, Dre. Welcome back to the squad. Happy to have you back. As always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. Until next Thursday night at 7, guys. See ya. Bye, chat.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.